Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here again this morning. And this morning as we have a service that is slightly different to the normal, being our covenant service this morning, we're here to share in worship together and reaffirm what it means to be part of this local fellowship here in whatever way that happens to be. And this morning I pray that as we go through the service, and as we read words together, that you will all feel you can read the words, whether you're in membership here or whether you're not, you just come here regularly. So feel free to join in with us this morning as we share words together. But, you know, being bound together in communion by the work of the Holy Spirit, it actually has radical implications for our commitment to each other and to the nature of our sharing together. And this covenant service is an opportunity to express this fellowship and actually make it deeper. We're recommitting ourselves this morning back to God and to each other as we move forward as a fellowship together. It's a visible symbol that we are there for one another. And it's a sign in our hearts and lives that we're making ourselves today freshly available to God for gospel service in his world. And so as we go through our service today, we're going to share some words together to collectively saying the words that will be in bold on the screen as we go through our service. So as we gather and we are gathered, we say, God has made us a people. We have been shaped by God's will. Jesus calls us together. We meet in Jesus' name. The Spirit binds us together and leads us into truth. We're going to just stand and have some worship together. We're going to sing a couple of songs if the group want to just come up. We're going to start with King of Kings and then When the Music Fades. So let's just have a time of worship together. Feel free to stand and to sing or to sit, whatever float your boat. This morning, we are here to worship our God, aren't we? So let's together worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank you.
King of kings, majesty, God of heaven living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end, all within me, overturned. Your majesty, I live to serve your majesty. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless love, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, but it's all about you. It's all about you,
Jesus. Lord, this morning, we want to come back to that heart of worship. Lord, help us and remind us why we're here. Because it's all about you. Together with all God's people, we're now going to proclaim our faith and celebrate the story of our salvation. So together, we are going to say the Apostles' Creed together, which starts, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our youngsters are going to leave us in a second for Sunday social. But let me just pray with them before they go to their group this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our young people. We thank you that they are part of our fellowship here. Lord, as they go to their group now, be with them. Let them learn something new of you this morning. Give them a great time in whatever they are going to get up to. Bless those that are leading. Give them your wisdom and fill them with your Holy Spirit as they share something about you this morning. Give them a great time and bless us too as we continue in our worship here. In your name I ask it. Amen. Okay, youngsters, if you want to head for your group, I think you know where you're going by now, through that door and up the stairs. Go and have a great time this morning as you share some great things together. Have a good time. It's good. We're going to continue in prayer before we look at our next section of our covenant service this morning. Loving Heavenly Father, as we've declared our faith in you and celebrated the story of our salvation, we are reminded of those who are not here worshipping with us this morning. Lord, I pray you'll be with them all, those that are unwell, awaiting test results, or recovering from an ailment. And we especially want to remember Ian and family as they prepare to say goodbye to Avril on Wednesday. Surround them with your love and comfort at this time of their grieving. And we too remember all the activities, Lord, that go on throughout the week in this building. Thank you that you are present whenever we meet. Give those that lead wisdom as they share and demonstrate your love and proclaim your gospel message. We ask that you would bring healing and restoration to all those that need it. Holy Spirit, move amongst all who cross the threshold of this building in this coming week. Thank you that no matter what the need, you're able to work for the good of those that love you. And we pray for our governments and ask that you give all those that serve our country a wisdom to lead fairly and make wise decisions. And for every decision that is made, please guide the hands, whether they know you or they don't. And of course, we continue to remember the conflicts going on around the world, especially for those in Ukraine, Russia, Israel, and Palestine in particular. Bring resolution to these war-torn areas, I pray. And so, Jesus, be with us now as we continue in our worship together. Amen. We're going to come to the section of our covenant that talks about service and the things that we are going to agree together as a committed body of Christians here in this place. And so we are going to declare what it means to be a gospel people and the kind of Christian community that we intend to be. Here we baptize those who repent and trust in Christ as Lord and Saviour. In baptism, we are called to be disciples who share in the death and resurrection of Christ. Through baptism, we're received into the church, the body of Christ, immersed into the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To know Christ is to follow him. To name him Lord is to obey him. Jesus calls us to be a gospel people. Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." He calls us to be a worshipping community, offering all to God in prayer. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." He calls us to be a missionary people, making known the redeeming love of God. Jesus says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." He calls us to be a sacrificial community, generously giving from all that God has given us. Jesus says, "Anyone who comes to me, I will never turn away." He calls us to be an inclusive community, sharing the hospitality of God's kingdom with all. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor." He calls us to be a prophetic community, challenging powers that oppress and values that corrupt. Lord Jesus Christ, you have gathered us together as a people here in this place. We've been reminded of the things you have called us to be. Help us to live these out in your strength as we continue in fellowship one with another. Amen. We're going to stand, having read those words, and sing this great hymn together. "I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say." Let's stand and let's sing this great hymn together. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Please be seated. Our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're picking up from verse 12. This is Paul obviously talking about the body of Christ, predominantly in Corinth, but also it has some great encouragement for us here as we look at this analogy this morning. So Paul writes to the Corinthian church, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand,' that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts that do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." Lord, as we just spend a few minutes just looking at this passage, I pray you will open our hearts and our minds to receive something new from you. This is a passage that many of us know really well. But Lord, this morning I pray you will give us something new and afresh to take away. Stir our spirits as we just share together. Thank you, Lord, that we are all indeed part of your body. Be with us as we just share a few thoughts in your name. Amen. So this morning then has been about reaffirming what we believe and restating what that means for us as part of the body of Christ. Words not to be taken lightly, as we're reminded that as followers of Jesus, we have been called into community together. We gather and have been gathered, sharing in fellowship and worship as we experience life together and seeing spiritual growth through the Holy Spirit at work within each of us. This then enabling us to boldly share the good news of Jesus with those around us and with those that we meet. And our passage this morning, familiar I know to many, sees Paul sharing with the Corinthian church what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Using an analogy of a human body, he explains how members having great diversity share a fundamental unity as each works together. Jew, Gentile, slave or free, no matter the ethnicity, gender or social standing, all were included in the Corinthian church. And this is the same for us here today, I mean, just look around. Look at the person next to you. We are all different, aren't we? Thankfully, yeah, absolutely. But being all different, we can still share a common bond. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which makes us members of the universal church. Paul, writing to the Roman church, put it like this. This good news about Christ tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. And Paul here is quoting from the Old Testament book of Habakkuk that says the righteous will live by faith. And we've already declared together what we believe, hopefully as we read the Apostles' Creed. Namely, a belief in God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with a recognition of Jesus as our crucified and risen Saviour, dying to forgive our sins and restoring our relationship with God to be able to spend an eternity with him. Yes? Great. This is the unity, of course, that we all share. As Paul put it, we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. Therefore, then, we all make up the body. There cannot be one single part. It takes all of us. Which is why membership of a local church is important. It provides a sense of belonging. A place that you've decided is where you want to worship, where you want to grow, and where you want to contribute to the life of the fellowship. It's a place you can call home. And I still remember the first time that Dawn and I walked into this building some years ago. 2007. And we just knew that God was calling us here. It felt like being at home amongst family. And I know many of you share that same feeling. And this feeling actually was really weird, considering that we'd come from a place of charismatic evangelicalism. I was used to people dancing in church services regularly. I was used to people waving their hands. I was used to people doing all sorts of things in church services. And when I came here for the first time, I am ashamed actually to say that I called this the Stand Up, Sit Down for Jesus Church. Because that's how I felt. We stood up, we sang a song, through once, no repeats, and then we sat down again. But there's nothing wrong with that, is there? It's, I guess, what you're used to. You know, even after all these years, I still call myself, and I'm proud to say, I am a Bapticostal. And I make no apology if my past sometimes gets me a little excited as I think about the things of God. But folks, this morning, when we consider what Jesus has done for us, that should make us want to raise our hands. Maybe jump up and down, shout hallelujah, or even fall on our knees and weep. To show emotion in church is not a crime. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," as he died, he really meant it. At that very moment, as the temple curtain was torn in two, Jesus paid the ultimate price for you and for me. His job was accomplished. He'd carried out the will of his Father, the God-man sacrificing himself for our salvation. And that very thought alone should stir our spirit. Jesus changes everything. From a place of death and destruction to life. And that life for an entire eternity. But here's the thing. We can still recognize that we are all different. And we can accept that fact. For example, maybe not all of us are comfortable dancing in church. But David did it before the Lord with all his might. So if you want to dance, then dance. If you want to clap, then clap. If you want to sit and just listen, then do that. We all worship, don't we, in different ways. But we can still come together to not only receive something from God as we offer our worship, but also to contribute and to build each other up too. And that's the great thing, you know, of being part of a family. Okay, so that's point one. Together, but different. Point two. Don't think that you don't belong. Just because you don't see yourself as having anything to offer doesn't make you any less a part of the body. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? Simple answer, no. If the feet trained to become hands, then you might be able to do four things at once, but you wouldn't be going very far. And if God has made you the foot, then recognize that actually you might be at the bottom, but it's you that's bearing the weight of the entire body and getting it from A to B. And saying, I don't need you, doesn't work either. We need to remember to be inclusive, not exclusive. We cannot do it on our own. The foot only works because it's connected by the ankle to the leg. Whether you like it or not, being part of a local body of Christians is vital for continued spiritual growth. It's really hard to do that on your own. And it's good, isn't it, to come together to pray, worship, and study God's word. If your finger was severed, heaven forbid, from your body, it can only survive on its own without a blood supply, apparently, for about 12 hours. After that, there's little hope that it can be reattached to the body of which it was a part. And we too need to remain attached to the rest of the body. Not only for our own sake, but for the body as a whole. The hand can function, of course, with the finger missing. But it's not as good. It wasn't designed that way. It knows something is just not right. And that's not to say that God doesn't sometimes move us on. But of course, then we become part of another local body of believers. So it's really important that we are attached. The simple fact is, we need each other. And have you ever thought that it's God that's brought you into this particular local fellowship? I don't believe that any of you have got here by chance. And if you've been worshipping here for a while, and I know many have been worshipping here longer than I, then I really trust that you still feel at home. And if you feel you've been called here, then be assured God has got something for you to do. Paul reminds us of this in our passage, that part of our responsibility is to care for one another. Verse 26, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. So this morning, whatever you think, you being a part of this local body has an effect in one way or another on us all. God has designed us for unity and harmony as we recognise each other and we work together. And my final point for this morning. You have a unique part to play. We cannot all be hands, feet, eyes or ears, but we all have individual parts that make up the whole. We're all individual parts that make up the whole body here. Three facts I'm going to leave you with from our passage to ponder. The last verse, verse 27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. You are not excluded. Second, verse 22. Some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Don't ever think that what you're doing is insignificant. And thirdly, verse 18. Our bodies have many parts, but God has put each part just where He wants it. Rest in the knowledge that God has placed you exactly where He wants you. So for each of us, we need to play our part until God calls us to do something else. And maybe for some of you, you've been considering membership here at Desborough Baptist Church, something to pray about, as membership not only affirms your commitment to the work here, but also gives you a voice in the decision-making processes of the fellowship. Remember, your voice is just as important as anyone else's. And that's just another way that you can be involved. And if you've been thinking about membership, then come and have a chat with me or one of the leadership team if that's something that God is laying on your heart. I read in our members' meeting something that I'm going to reread this morning from the book that we have been studying. Whether or not you can see it, you have a call on your life to join with God in His work in the world. Whatever is in your hands can and will be used if you are willing. Many of us don't think that we have much to offer, but in reality, when the Spirit of God is working, your resources, character, and competencies, all gifts that God gave you and only you, can and should be used to build His kingdom. That starts with His church. Don't underestimate this call or gifts by not accepting it and using them. Most importantly, don't compare your gifts to those of others, as they are not called to do what you are called to do. Their story is different from yours. Paul says that three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We are here this morning because of love. We share covenant promises together because of love. The act of communion and remembrance around the Lord's table is because of love. and that love? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we now turn towards sharing this meal together, before we do that, we are just going to share in a covenant prayer, pledging ourselves to watch over each other and our participation in the mission of God. So we covenant together. Creating and redeeming God, we give you thanks and praise for your covenant of grace made for our salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. We come this day to covenant with you and with companion disciples to watch over each other and to walk together before you in ways known and to be made known. Amen. Covenant God, strengthening and saving God, we claim your promises of your word and ask for your help. By the power of your Holy Spirit, make bold our vision of your kingdom. Strengthen us, do your will, and help us to walk together in your way. Pour down your Spirit that the promises we make this day may be an offering of love, our duty and delight, and that by our life together we may glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This day we give ourselves again to the Lord and to each other to be bound together in fellowship for the sake of the mission and glory of God. Celebrating our shared life, we commit ourselves to belong and working together in our congregation, our local partnerships, our association, and our union of churches. We pledge all that we have and all that we are to fulfill God's purposes of love. And so we come to our communion table this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we set aside our wisdom, our will, our words, as we empty our hearts and bring nothing in our hands, we yearn for the healing, the holding, the accepting, the forgiving, which Christ alone can offer. And let's just take a moment to pause and allow God to bring to our minds those things we need to confess before him this morning. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I'll ask those that are serving if they could just come to the front. That would be great. Loving God, we praise and thank you for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power in the lifting of the downtrodden and the healing of the sick and the loving of the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross, for the redemption of the world, and for your raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall share. We give you thanks for this bread and wine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and formed into his body. This we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." And this morning, as part of our covenanting and sharing together, I'm going to ask that we serve each other wherever possible by offering bread to the person sitting next to us. As we've taken the bread and remembered that Christ died for us, in the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." And obviously we retain the cup and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity in Christ. Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. God of grace, you've called us to be your disciple people and gathered us to your table. Here we have tasted the bread of heaven and shared the new wine of your kingdom. Empower us by your Spirit that we may be a gospel people. Good news for all the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We finish our time of celebration and sharing together this morning by singing "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling." Let's stand and sing this hymn together. we finish by saying these words together. Now may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.